Okay, good afternoon. We are looking at the Avila Beach seminar called Beyond Time, which was given in 1979 in Northern California at Avila Beach by Herb Fitch. And I was there somewhere in the middle of the audience. I think there was 200 people there. Well, 150 or 200. And this talk, we're looking at the first half of talk number 3, which was called The Eternal Man. And that's appropriate because this entire talk is all about living in your eternal self. So, how do you do that? How do you live in your eternal self? Well, Herb gives us a clue, many clues, but on page 7 here he says, there's another way. Other than living in your material sense of self, there's another way. Accept who you are in consciousness. Contemplate it. Live with it. Dwell with it. Sit in the silence with it. Let the same voice, the same consciousness that was coming through John, open your soul so that the voice of the world mind through you can find no outlet in your consciousness. Now, I've told you before, while I was at this seminar, my consciousness expanded beyond anything I had ever known. Yes, I had had several spiritual experiences by living with the principles and practicing the presence and practicing meditation as Joel suggested. But this experience was, well, it was a wowzer because I stepped into my eternal self. I stepped out of the time mind and into the eternal self, the eternal consciousness, the eternal Christ. And here's how it happened. I was sitting in one of the classes. Herb was talking. I had my eyes closed. And suddenly I was lifted up right out of my body, my material sense of body. And I was lifted up into another dimension. There were two or three other beings that I could see. I could see their, vaguely, their forms. They had robes on, but I couldn't see their faces, but I could feel them. They were giving me something. I believe it was the beginning of initiation for me. And so I felt, well, fantastic. I felt kind of giggly. I was afraid to start giggling and mess up the class. But thank goodness I tuned in and I heard Herb say, now let's take a 10 or 15 minute recess. And so I walked outside. I needed a cigarette because I hadn't had one and I was smoking a pack and a half a day way back then. I'm happy to say I haven't had one in over 20 years, but I guess it's 22 years now. But then I needed one, so I walked outside, I lit up my cigarette, and I looked out at the ocean. and I could see, I could feel that ocean inside of me, and I could feel myself inside of the ocean. I looked at the sky and the clouds, and I could feel myself in the sky. I could feel the movement of the clouds. I could feel the wind inside of me. I looked at the trees. I could feel those trees and those bushes inside of me. And myself, I could feel inside of them. I looked at the rocks, and I could feel myself in the rocks, and the rocks in me. I felt my everlasting, eternal, omnipresent self. But I didn't lose my individuality. Now I looked at the buildings, the telephone wires, the automobiles, the street, the asphalt. And you know what? It was no different than the water and the air and the sky and the trees. I could feel myself in the asphalt. I could feel the road inside of myself. Everywhere I looked was my infinite, eternal self. So then I looked at the people standing around and talking. I didn't want to talk. I just wanted to feel what I was feeling. So I looked at a man, and I could feel my face on his face, and I could feel his face on mine. The lines weren't there. It was impossible to tell where I left off and he began. It was a feeling of oneness like I've never could have imagined. I looked at the ladies, and I could feel my face on theirs and their face on mine. I could feel them inside of myself and myself inside of them. Everywhere, everything was my omnipresence. And it lasted, this experience lasted, this consciousness lasted until I got home 2 or 3 days later and had been back home for a while and back going to work. I had a individual session with Herb. I think it was the Monday following the classes, or Tuesday, I don't remember now. And I'd never met him before. But I knocked on his door, and he said, "Come on in, have a seat." And I said, "Herb, I have to tell you, you're not my teacher. I have a teacher, and that teacher is within." And of course, I was referring to the Christ presence. I was referring to my eternal life, which was also his eternal life. And he smiled and lit up like a Christmas tree. And we talked for a while. Anyway, I learned over the years that I could go into meditation and feel this everywhere self. Of course, it wasn't at the depth I felt it that weekend. You know, Herb says, he mentions the, as it is the beginning of this one, let me see. Yeah, he says, "I must commend you for the exceptional silence that precedes the class. It clearly paves the way for something very deeply appreciated and very important." So, I learned there, because of the depth of consciousness of the people that attended, I learned that I really do have an eternal, omnipresent self. It's not made by hands and eternal in the heavens. This material sense of form, which I'm sitting in, was made by hands. It was made by two people. And that's why it's aging, and that's why it's, well, it's not aging as fast as others, but that's why it has good days and it has bad days, because it's a material sense. I know now, ever since 1979, when I attended the Beyond Time series, I know now that I have that eternal self. And I have learned when I'm driving my car to live in it, to look out at the horizon, at the other cars, and to go within myself and stop and just feel my eternal self. I can still feel the cars inside of me. And I know that everything I'm looking at is my consciousness. And everything I'm looking at is within my consciousness. I am not living in a world. I'm living in my consciousness. And when my consciousness is filled like that with the eternal self, well, all sorts of wonderful things happen. I get invited to speak somewhere. Somebody sends me a fantastic donation. All of a sudden, I have Herb Fitch reel-to-reel tapes coming to me from all over the universe, and I never even asked. And because of that, we've made these many talks and many books, and Kindle books, and Nook books, and paperbacks. So, I found that when, let's see, 2 years ago, March, so that's 2 years ago exactly, apparently I was having a heart attack, but I didn't know it because I went into meditation to see if I could meet it that way. And I did that for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, both days. And so for 48 hours, I guess I was having a heart attack. That's what they tell me. All I knew was that I was feeling a little weak and out of breath, and I was attempting to climb into the conscious awareness of my eternal self. But because of some pain and shortness of breath and the worried look on my wife's face, I didn't seem to be able to make the contact. Finally, on Monday morning, she said, "I'm going to take you to the hospital," and I relented, and I said, "Okay." So we went to the hospital, the local hospital, and the doctor there, according to my wife now, I don't remember any of this, he said, I'm sending him to Asheville, where there's cardiologists and special cardiac team. And my wife said, "Can I take him there?" And the doctor said, "If you take him there, he'll be dead when he arrives." I didn't hear any of that, but all I knew was that an ambulance guy, which happened to be a friend of mine, one of the EMT guys that showed up was a friend of mine. You see, that's consciousness giving you companionship, isn't it? Yes, it is. So he was a friend of mine, and he said, "Come on," and we got in the ambulance. He hooked me up with oxygen and all that stuff like they do, and we drove to the hospital, which is about an hour away. Well, we got there, and they opened the doors, and they pulled the cot I was laying on out to the outside, and the legs dropped down, and they rolled me in the door, and all these people were around. I saw one lady, and I asked her, "What are you doing?" She said, "We're just trying to look at your heart." I guess they were running something up my neck, but I didn't feel it. They were really good at what they did. And I heard a man, another doctor, say, well, that doesn't look too bad. Then they decided to look at the other side. And that's when I heard the doctor say, oh, my God. He was a little bit worried. Anyway, so what I did was I took a deep breath and I rested back in the Father. And I said, Father. And the next thing I know is I'm waking up. Now, what they told me, what my wife said, is that the doctor said, I don't know how much of him is coming back. Well, consciousness was in charge because I relaxed into that eternal self, the Father. And he said, the doctor said, he's not a good candidate for machines. So he didn't know if I was going to come back, and he didn't want to put me on any artificial machines. And so I guess it was going to be up to God, which I'm sure glad. So with that information, my wife called John, which is a member of our group in Mystical Principles, and the two of them started praying. And what she prayed for was that thy will be done. That's what she prayed for. She didn't pray, please bring my husband back, please heal him. She prayed, thy will be done. And no sooner had she said those words that her daughter said, he's awake. Because in the recovery room, while she was praying out in the hall, I didn't hear her, but I opened my eyes and looked at the nurse's hair. She had a real pretty hairdo with highlights. And I said, pretty hair. And she said, what? I said, you have pretty hair. She said, thank you. And then I closed my eyes and disappeared again for a while. While I was out, I talked to an angel. I know it's kind of weird, but I believe in telling the truth. And that's what happened. I talked to an angel, and she had an atmosphere about her. There was something that was like snowflakes that was kind of falling and floating around her. And there was something golden around her, golden light. I can't remember too much more than that, but that she had a message for one of our foster children, because we take care of foster children, and these are severely abused foster children. And so she had a message for one of them, and when I came back, she came to visit me in the hospital, and I gave her the message. And she was crying, and I was crying, but it was a beautiful message, and I was glad to give it to her. And by the way, before this happened, I had been praying, God, make me an instrument of thy love. Just give me one drop of your love to pour out. And so, praying for God's love, I disappeared into another dimension where I took the message from an angel, the message of love, and brought it back and gave it to our foster daughter. Isn't that amazing? The prayer was sure answered. But I like it better with thy will be done. All right, so why am I telling you all that? Because I want to tell you that this eternal life crossed over with me. This was the last thing I did, was rested back in the consciousness of this eternal life. Like Joel says, on the sea of spirit. And I also wanted you to know that I'm still practicing. Like I said, when I drive my car, I'm on the road, I can get that feeling of consciousness that envelops everything I'm seeing, and I know I'm moving in my consciousness, in my eternal self. When I'm in a room with people, if I'm at a meeting or at a church or at a gathering, I can do the same thing. I can feel that feeling that everyone in the room is in my consciousness, and that my consciousness is peace. My consciousness is Christ. My consciousness is light. Okay? Okay, well, I didn't want to go so far, but there's only one way to describe these things. If you're being honest, you have to say it the way it was, and that's what I've tried to do. All right, so it is Friday, and I made this talk a little early because we're having a respite this weekend. Sunday, when Madeline goes off to get our kids, I'm going to make the long talk, so over on Consciousness Transformed. So that'll be a little later than usual, but I am going to make it. And this one will be a little earlier than usual, and I'm going to upload it in a minute. Thank you for listening. It was longer than I intended, and I left so much out. Maybe we'll get together someday, and then I'll give you the long version of these things. Thank you for listening. I love you. Thank you, everybody, for the support lately. I've been able to pay on some things that I'm grateful for. And we've been able to put out a new book of Herb Fitch. And we're just waiting now for them to post it to Amazon. And when they do, I'll let you know. I don't make any money off these books, but it makes me feel good to be continuing to get his message, Herb Fitch's message, out to the world. I think I make a dollar on a book or something. It cost me several hundred to publish the book, so I may, over a year, make $20. So I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it for the love of Herb and the love of Christ and the love of the message. And I just wanted you to know, I guess today's a day of confession or something. All right. Thank you, and I'll talk to you again.